Hi, my name is Irina Kremень, and I want to welcome you to another episode of the Blue Beauty series, hosted by Jeannie Jarnot, the founder and CEO of Beauty Heroes. In this podcast series, we interview a beauty and wellness brand's founders, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to talk about the future of beauty and how to build businesses that leave our planet better and bluer. From zero waste packaging to regenerative practices, you will discover why materials matter, how to make philanthropy the foundation of a profitable business model, and which innovative brands are leading the blue beauty revolution.
Our guest today, and we are waiting for her, she's coming, I see right now, is Anna Breitman, the CEO of Upcircle Beauty. It's an amazing brand based in UK, where they use leftover natural ingredients, bringing them back to life as a beauty products for our natural beauty products for our skin. So welcome, Anna and Jeannie.
Hi, Anna. Good morning.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting.
Absolutely. It's good evening. You're in the UK, in London, right?
Yes, that's right. I'm just on the side of the River Thames where it's getting dark. It's 5:30 p.m. here and it's pretty much pitch black outside already. So that's fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time to have this conversation. I truly think this conversation is, I don't know, I feel like this every week. I get more and more inspired through this series. Your company and what you and your brother started really do inspire me. And I am excited to kind of share your journey with this audience and have them get a glimpse into how, you know, two people with really no experience in this particular space have really become leaders and a shining example of how to upcycle ingredients and do it in such a, you know, profound way, such a, you know, create a really truly, you know, growing brand that's got so much potential. People should really be watching your brand. So I'm excited to dive in. And I think I'd like to start at the beginning from that moment. It was really your brother who had kind of that first moment of curiosity that sparked Upcircle. So why don't you tell us about what sparked this?
Sure. Well, firstly, thank you so much for such a glowing introduction. It never gets old hearing that we might be able to hopefully inspire others who have a big dream or a vision to just go and give it a go and kind of give it your all. It's definitely been a roller coaster. So yeah, it's been 5 years now that we have existed as a brand. Mad because it feels like forever, but only 5 years, so still relatively young. But we have achieved a phenomenal amount in that time. It really has been a total roller coaster, and our products are sold all over the world, selling hundreds and hundreds of thousands of units. So it's been a lot, but it all started one day out of just complete curiosity. My brother walked into a coffee shop, the same coffee shop that he would walk into every single morning on his way to work in his previous job, which he was good at, but felt ultimately unsatisfied and unfulfilled at the end of the day when he would come in. So he was like myself, kind of looking for inspiration for a business that he could call his own and a business that would have a positive impact and leave the planet, I guess, better than we found it. So yeah, one day he walked into his local coffee shop and he asked the barista as he was making his cup of coffee for him, what actually happens at the end of the day to all of the coffee grounds that the coffee shop produces? This was just a small chain independent. It was not the likes of Starbucks, some huge international well-known coffee house. So he was really shocked when the barista told him that they actually produce so much per day that they have to pay the local council to have it disposed of at landfill. Yeah. So that was kind of where we had the first part of our penny drop moment and the building of this idea. Because what this question basically made us realize was that there was a problem, and that there was a problem that could have so many different solutions if only we could be creative and inventive and resourceful enough to do something about it.
Yes, so that moment of curiosity, one of the things we were talking about this call, when we were preparing for this call, we were talking about sort of that natural curiosity. And I think that that's something that, you know, has led to so much innovation. So what led you to decide to make, you know, he saw this problem, and what led you to think, oh, we can actually make a, you know, scrub or a personal care or a skincare product? How did that kind of gel?
To be honest, I feel like it was one of those things where everything just seemed to fall into place. So many things happened at the same time or within a couple of months of each other that made it all just seem like we had to do it. So let's take a few examples. Firstly, in the UK, there was the microbead scandal. So this was everyone waking up to the realization that a huge amount of everyday skincare or bathroom products were actually filled with these tiny microscopic plastic beads that once produced cannot be taken back out from the system. So if you're a fish eater, for example, you are consuming microbeads through the fish that you eat because they've eaten it out of the ocean, because it's flushed down the drain, because it was in your toothpaste or your scrub. So there's this huge movement away from that towards natural exfoliators. My kind of input, I suppose, was that as a teenager, I'd always wanted to be a makeup artist. I had a keen interest in skincare and cosmetics, and not a professional background, admittedly, but I had always been passionate. And I think that that's all you need to kind of keep yourself clued up on what's hot, what's good for your skin, etc. So I knew that coffee was a fantastic skincare ingredient. When we looked at some competitors, we looked at what was already out there on the market. I will not stand here and say that we were the first coffee scrub to ever exist. That's absolutely not the case.
Right.
But what we were finding was that they were all using fresh coffee. And so when we had this huge waste problem, in the UK, we send 500,000 tons of coffee to landfill per year, where it rots to produce methane, which is a greenhouse gas. So there was, you know, why couldn't we make scrubs from that rather than just making even more coffee? Coffee's so popular. We're not going to stop liking coffee anytime soon. So that was what we wanted to do that was different to anyone else. And then I guess another thing, you know, the more research we did, we were finding out little facts, like the fact that the level of antioxidants actually increases through the brewing process. So it arguably becomes even better for your skin. It's not sort of depleting in its quality in any way, because of course, tackling issues of waste in the beauty industry is quite a scary thing to do, even just from a messaging perspective. So when we find out little facts like that, that help us really prove that these ingredients that we're repurposing are of no lesser quality, then again, that helps us kind of push ourselves over the line to go for it and to quit our jobs and to give it our all.
So it started with coffee. I think, it's so interesting. One of the things that was really kind of an aha moment for me was when we last spoke, you were kind of, you know, had come out of your facility. You were, you know, kind of sleeves rolled up, and I can really relate to that. We do everything in house, and it's not as glamorous as it appears on the outside. And I could, you know, really see that you had your hands in your company, and you've really become an ingredient processor, you know, collector, processor. And it's just, that's what I think so interesting about your company is that you kind of wanted to make products, you wanted to, use this ingredient, you almost end up in a totally different business than you ever expected you would be in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're a brand who are working with something for the first time, there's no rule book, there's no one to look to for guidance. We very much had to figure it out with every single ingredient that we work with, at the different scales of that as well. So it was very different on day one when we might have been collecting from one coffee shop, which was in fact that one coffee shop that my brother had walked into that morning. And then when you fast forward to today and we're working with over 100 different coffee shops, the processing for that is a completely different story. Right. And it really does take a specific kind of person and character to be someone who will get stuck in, who will, as you said, roll up their sleeves and figure it out. We really are problem solvers, and there's nothing that's, we try not to see anything as being impossible or off the table. If we have an idea or inspiration strikes, then we will do everything we can to make it work, because that is what keeps us ahead, I suppose, of the hundreds of thousands of other skincare brands that are launching every single day. It's a challenge. It really is a challenge. But if you can make it happen and you can scale it up, then you will produce something that is truly unique. And its story, its provenance is so special because of the journey it's taken, not only in its first life, but then also in the efforts that we go to actually effectively turn it into a skincare ingredient.
So now inspiration is, since that coffee shop moment, inspiration has struck several times over. Can you walk us through the upcycled ingredients that you're working with now? Because there are many. You've gone way beyond coffee.
Yeah. So we've really expanded out the portfolio of repurposed ingredients that we've worked with. I feel like we made a name for ourselves in coffee, and that was what people, it was a good one to start with because it's very tangible. Everyone gets it, oh yeah, coffee grounds, I drink my coffee every morning, I tap that out into my bin, it makes sense. But yeah, there's hundreds of other ingredients that have fantastic skincare benefits that are going to waste. So the next one that we started working with was chai spices. And sometimes we might lead with an ingredient, or sometimes we might lead with a product. This was an example of when this ingredient basically landed on our lap. We were at a show and the founder of a different business, a chai company, said, look, I brew through a beautiful mix of 10 aromatic spices to make chai syrups, and I can only do that once, but they still smell absolutely incredible. Would you like to use them? And I said, yes, okay, let's go for it. So we then infused those into our range of palm oil free chai scented soaps. Since, we've expanded out into things like fruit stones that we powder down, so apricot stones or olive stones that we turn into our face mask. Also looking at the outer parts of fruits as well. So argan shells, for example, that we use in our face moisturizer, very high in vitamin E. So always a very highly sought after skincare ingredient. We also work with residual fruit waters that are byproducts from the juicing industry. So, for example, when you make a juice concentrate like mandarin, you squeeze the fruit and then you evaporate off the water. And then what's left is the original product. But that water is fortified with vitamins and minerals. And if you go to your bathroom now and look at your skincare products, you might find that the aqua or water is the first ingredient in most of them. So it was a really good target ingredient for us to try to make more sustainable. And then, of course, enriched with the skincare properties as well. So, yeah, a whole variety of different ingredients from different industries. We even started repurposing maple bark extract at the end of 2020 as well. So, as I mentioned, nothing is off the table. We try to see potential in all natural ingredients.
And recently you shared with me that you saw another ingredient kind of right in front of your eyes. It was just laying before you. You saw a problem, and it would, I guess, where other people saw maybe nothing, no problem, actually, you saw an opportunity. So I love this story. It's very current and very, I think it's a great example. Why don't you share that with us?
Of course. So you mentioned that we had spoken last and I was in my warehouse very much on the job. And that's exactly where this idea came from. So one of the premises that we operate from here in London is a railway arch. And we're the only skincare brand within those arches. Every other one is occupied by local florists who supply hotels or do wedding venues or the houses of the rich and famous. But they have been our neighbors for the last nearly about 4 years. So of course, you know, you get to know them and you observe, going back to that eyes up kind of curious approach that we try to have. And what I had noticed was that every single Tuesday, they seem to just throw away everything that they hadn't sold for the previous week. And to you or I, these are beautiful bouquets of flowers that I would be more than happy to receive as new, you know? But for one reason or another, they don't deem them as worthy for resale, or, you know, at this point they wouldn't have a long enough life or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So it made me sad to come outside and see bins full of beautiful flowers all around me. And so, of course, you know, I got to thinking, and there are so many gorgeous bath products in particular that I thought, wow, why can't I make bath bombs or bath salts that are infused with petals, or even start extracting the oils from these petals. So I began leaving out the barrels that we use to collect the coffee in, but labeled for flower petals instead. And so instead of putting them into their own trash bins, they would put them into my flower petal bins. And then we begin the process of dehydrating these flowers for use in upcycle products. So again, it's just a nice kind of tangible example of looking at everyday life and trying to see potential in things that already exist rather than feeling that desire to produce new. I think that, you know, the world has finite resources, and the world would probably be a better place if we could all see value in things that already exist rather than the kind of greed associated with wanting more, 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 more.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I'm 48 years old, and it's these kinds of companies founded by younger people, entrepreneurs, who are really kind of reshaping how business can be done and should be done. And it's truly, truly inspiring to me. And I think that people watching this will hear your story and rethink, you know, how they can create something that is truly, you know, I think this is a great Blue Beauty story. What I love about Blue Beauty, I kind of have these moments when I'm talking to companies and I sort of like this, you know, there's this win-win-win situation, right? Like mm-hmm. It's a win for the company, it's a win for the customer, and it's a win for the coffee shop, right? And mm-hmm. That's, I think, you know, these are these full, you know, holistic business practices that we're, you know, that I wanted to really highlight through our project, Blue Beauty. Another win that, you know, as we were chatting, that I thought was really cool. And that's that your partners, your raw material ingredient suppliers are really super engaged and motivated to provide this ingredient for you because it's a win for them. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So often when I'm talking about our supply chain or our decision-making process, I talk about the win-win-win test. It's not just win-win. There is another third element there, and that's important. I want to make sure that from start to finish, the products that I'm responsible for putting out into the world are truly beneficial at every single stage, not just for the person using them at the end or for me as the business owner. Going right to the start of that supply chain and the person growing is really important as well. So the first win would be, is it a win for your skin? You know, there's no point repurposing these ingredients unless they have fantastic skincare benefits, mm-hmm. right? You buy a moisturizer because you want it to moisturize yeah. your skin. You buy an SPF to protect you from sun damage. it doesn't matter if this coffee scrub is made with repurposed coffee grounds if it does a terrible job of exfoliating your skin. So that's the first win. The second win is the business perspective. So is this a win for Upcircle? Is it scalable? Is it reliable in its source? You know, I would hate to put out a product that people love and then have to pull it within a few months because I can no longer get hold of that ingredient, or the ingredient becomes unsustainable and therefore my ethics are compromised. We made that mistake very early on, actually, with vanilla. So we made a scrub that had vanilla extract infused into it, but then the supply for that globally really dwindled. So not only did the price go up, but also I didn't feel comfortable with the strain put on the original people trying to grow these crops. So I always have to factor that in as well. So that's the second win, kind of, is it a win for Upcircle and the business and supply and demand, basically? And then the third one is it a win for the supplier, the person growing it, the people who are responsible for its first life, basically? And what's nice about this, if you take, for example, our date seed extract, so we repurpose date seeds into our body cream that we released last year. Now, dates are harvested primarily in Israel for use in things like jams or jellies, pastes, spreads, things like that. But the stones are or seeds are a complete byproduct. The growers have absolutely no use for them. So if we come along and say, hey, I would like to buy that from you, then you are adding an entire new revenue stream for those growers. So at that point, you know, that's nice because that is a complete added value in something that previously had no value for the people responsible for actually growing the original plant. So that's a real win. But then equally, if you look at the businesses involved sometimes in the original product, so take the chai company or the coffee shops, the fact that we are taking away one of their waste, the wastes outputs from their business is a positive for them because it helps them bolster their own sustainability credentials. They can say to their customers, oh, hey, look, you don't have to worry about the waste produced here because actually we work with this really cool, innovative young brand who recycle our waste and turn it into something completely new. So for their, you know, marketing, messaging, ethos, values, and sustainability credentials, it's also a win for them as well. So that's kind of the third win section that is a nice one for us to be able to tick as well.
Yeah, you so articulately walked us through that. Thank you. I love that. And I think it's truly, your partners and ingredient suppliers must be just love working with Upcircle. Well, that's all the fun stuff about Upcircle, but there's another side to it. It's, you know, you can imagine all of these different ingredients that you're working with, collecting them, sorting through them, processing them, making sure they're preserved and properly, you know, sent, you know, cared for to be turned into a raw ingredient. It's quite complicated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be honest, in the early days when we were just these people with an idea and a lot of drive, of course, I think it's natural that you ask questions and you seek as much advice from people who have been in the industry for much longer as mentors. And every single person that we spoke to advised us not to do it, whether it was because consumers weren't ready to tackle issues of waste in the beauty industry. Those are completely polarizing, you know, channels, I guess. They operate on the end of the opposite ends of the scale. Or it was about the complexities of supply chain and processing and scaling up. So that in itself was, you know, really intimidating in the start. And I do think sometimes there have been points in our journey where I've thought, oh God, why did we choose this as our point of difference? It would be so easy. You know, when customers, for example, say, oh, I'd love to see you make a hand sanitizer or something completely different that we haven't yet released. And the expectations from consumers are so high. And everyone wants everything now. And it takes a really long time for us to source the ingredients that we want to work with, for us to begin processing, trialing, experimenting, until we finally get to that end point But as I mentioned earlier, I do think that when you can make it happen, it really is all the more rewarding because it's unlike anything else that anyone else has put on the market. Another kind of phrase that I say quite a lot is that natural is the new normal and normal is boring. I think you really have to stand out from the crowd. And I see skincare brands or I get contacted by people wanting to launch skincare brands all the time. And I say, okay, cool. Like, tell me about what you're doing. And they say, oh, well, it's all natural, or oh yeah, it's all vegan, or we're against animal testing, or we're palm oil free, or oh, it's all handmade in small batches. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but so is everyone. That's great. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to put people off for fantastic intentions, and those tick boxes are things that are all very important. But yeah, I feel like if you're the first person to do anything, it's going to be a challenge. So having partnerships, for example, with our manufacturers that we've had since day one, we work so closely with our professional formulators and manufacturers, and they really get it. They get what we're trying to achieve. And just like us, they are willing to just dust off their shoulders and start again 5, 6, 7, 8 times until we get it right.
Yeah. There's like a whole, you know, you have to really dive in. You probably didn't know anything about this when you started, like stability testing and organic certifications, or any certification is made more complex by the nature of your sourcing process.
Yeah, organic certifications is a perfect example. That's something from a messaging perspective, which is really challenging and frustrating for us as a brand, because so many consumers, and rightly so, that's what certifications are designed for, will shop based on certification. It's a way of picking up a product on a shelf that has lots and lots of other products, and you look for that stamp, which is that thing that's important to you, whether that's organic, whether it's vegan, or whatever it might be. You can just, without reading through all of the individual ingredients, you can look for that stamp and you can go, okay, great, it's got it, and move on and put it in your basket. But for us, getting those certifications is extremely difficult, if not impossible, in certain situations, because of the fact that we are working with upcycled ingredients. The traceability of the ingredients is so much more complex that certification bodies haven't yet modernized their criteria to fit a brand like ours. So we can't, for example, get organic certification on the majority of our range because the percentage of upcycled ingredients in each formulation is so high. So because, like, if you take the coffee shops, they're being sourced from hundreds of different coffee shops, it's impossible to request that all of those coffee shops to get the certification, which of course comes with huge fees, a registration, annual prices, etc. It would just never happen. So that's why, again, the responsibility falls back on us as a brand to make sure that we are only choosing coffee shops, or whatever the original business might be, that are fair trade, organic, etc., and fit with our ethos. But we're very hopeful that in the near future, these certification bodies will update or kind of modernize and bring their criteria up to meet the modern day, so that they could say, okay, 70% of this formulation is organic and the remaining 30% is from upcycled ingredients of organic sources or whatever. So it's left slightly more ambiguous, but it doesn't penalize us from getting the exact same certifications that we deserve, as much, if not more, than other brands sat alongside us.
I mean, I can really see you working with those bodies to push them on this topic. So, and I think by doing so, I mean, what an incredible accomplishment to be able to say that you've really, you know, helped shift the way that certifications are looked at and administered.
I do think, I mean, they're definitely listening. So we work with them a lot from a broader brand marketing perspective, and they acknowledge the issue. So as you say, hopefully now we've got the acknowledgement, the next step will be action. So stay tuned, fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for you. I'll definitely be staying tuned with you. So I want to end on a high note and a really, you know, I want to hear about what your customers feel about your company. What do you hear most often? What do you think about the conscious consumer? How much do they care? I think I always say this really, at Beauty Heroes, we vet a lot of brands. We look at a lot of products, and you can have the most amazing story and the most, some great innovations, but the product has to be really functional and really good. And people need to be able to use it with, it needs to be really practical. And so if the product's great, like you said, it's got a great environmental, or sourcing, just a brand that's doing good for the planet. And then there's, it's a win-win-win situation. Let's talk about the customer's win and how they perceive your brand, or how you hear, how you think they feel about UpCircle.
Well, one thing I would say is that it really is the biggest drive for getting out of bed every single morning to know that you're producing products that make people feel more confident. I see so many beauty brands or skincare brands that portray this unrealistic kind of Photoshop version of what beauty is. And I try extremely hard to make sure that the brand that I have created is not the same. We don't use professional models. We use friends and family. Nothing's ever Photoshopped or kind of filtered. We use all ages, genders, skin types. It really is a kind of skincare for all approach. And so that's something that I know from our customers we are really appreciated for. It's this kind of realness and transparency. And I would also put that forward. I mean, you mentioned earlier at the beginning that it's not so glamorous behind the scenes. And I try my best to portray that, because I think what I call the Instagram effect is a real, real problem in my generation and below, in young people overall, and only will get worse if we can't be more honest about our day-to-day lives. I don't want to just be portraying this this feed of perfection. So even when things go wrong, I make a real pointed effort to kind of see the humor in it, I guess. That's one thing that I often talk about within our team. When people are wanting to join our team, I say, wow, we really are a group of people who have an unwavering ability to see humor in when the world is falling around us. I think that's important. We had a TV appearance. It was our first ever TV appearance in the UK a few years ago, and we were so excited. We were on holiday and we only had one member of staff at the time, and we were all watching it, and big deal. And then they absolutely hated it. Or one of them did, one of the presenters anyway. So it was a total disaster. But then what I did was I posted the clip on our Instagram, and I just said, oh my God, what has happened here? Like, this is terrible. And to this day, even though that this was years ago, that remains the post that's got the most comments and the most engagement, the most likes, and got us the most followers. So even though it was terrible, like, it made us look awful because the presenters were like, wow, that is horrible. Actually, even just the fact that as a brand we were saying things happen that aren't great, and this is an example of that, we'll move on, was something that people really related to. So I think the relatability of my brand is something that we hear every single day from our customers as being something that make them want to purchase from us, make them want to be part of our process as well. So we're always asking questions of our customers. What do you want to see next? What do you hate the most? What do you love the most? What could be better? So it's more of a kind of community vibe, and that everyone's helping us shape to be better in the future. That's what I would hear the most, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking back to that clip. It's sort of, not actually where what I was, I didn't know about that prior to just now. But it's an interesting thing. I think, I don't know if this is the tact you took, but it's like, not everybody's ready. Not everybody gets it.
True.
And that's very relatable. I think that's something that I feel so much in terms of trying to be a conscious company. Like, you have these customers who just want, a good anti-aging, product, and aren't really like on board with the more the bigger vision for your company. Mm. And that's okay. Like, you know, I think the best companies draw people in and they leave feeling, you know, learning something from your company. Yeah. But I would imagine that you've got a huge community of loyal customers who really do relate and want to support brands like Upcircle. I certainly do. So
thank you. I hope so. That's the plan. That's the big vision.
Yeah. it's the visions come to life. Congratulations on all your success. It's been great talking with you today, and thank you for taking the time to share your story in this Blue Beauty conversation.
Oh, it's been 100% my pleasure. Thanks again.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the Blue Beauty series and to meet some of the speakers online, join Beauty Influence Network. Thanks again, and I will see you next time.